Are you a Catholic woman who loves your faith, but finds certain aspects of living it out challenging and confusing? Are you a Catholic wife striving for a healthy, holy marriage and sex life, but don't know where to turn for straightforward, faithful, nitty-gritty answers to some of your deep and delicate questions? Are you a Catholic mom who's tired of the compare and despair game we all fall victim to on social media, and are just in need of some solidarity as you discover your own unique motherhood? Are you tired of the sunshine and rainbows pitch? Want to lean into the both and of the mess that happens when the truths of our faith get lived in a fallen world? Well, if that's where you find yourself, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Emily Frazee, your host of the Total Wine Podcast. I'm here to dig deep and tackle topics that we are all curious about, but maybe too afraid to ask. I'll answer it all with honesty and humor, because living the faithful life can make you either laugh or cry, and well, laughing burns more calories. Welcome to the show. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Total Wine Podcast. I am recording today's episode with a little trepidation. I've had people, you know, reach out and ask me if I'd share kind of my thoughts on school choice and the decision-making process that, you know, we've kind of gone through with figuring out what to do with our kids for school. And I was very flattered by the question. And, you know, people who asked even shared, they were like, you know, you kind of seem like level-headed and nuanced about these types of topics. I'd really love to see that in this, you know, conversation, particularly in Catholic circles. And the phrase that kept popping into my head when I thought about talking about this was a phrase from Leanne Morgan's comedy special. I don't know if you've seen it on Netflix. I recommend it. You know, I know comedy is like a weird thing. Not everybody laughs at the same stuff. So take that with a grain of salt. But she's talking about at one point needing to buy a swimsuit in the middle of winter to go on a tropical vacation. And she says, I'd rather take a bullet. And that's kind of how I feel. That's how I felt for a while. I'd rather take a bullet than talk about this. Because frankly, as with so many things in our world today, everything is just talked about in extremes and in black and white terms. And it's really hard to weed through this. And when this is what we're getting inundated with on a daily basis, on all sorts of topics, it's really hard for us to kind of drown out the noise and just drill in and just focus in and be like, okay, what is best for our family? And so I understand that, you know, typically speaking, whenever I'm talking about, obviously, kind of my forte topic, you know, NFP, family planning, all this type of stuff, like, I'm always saying, like, hey, it's not about the size of your family. It's about whether or not you say yes to God, and everybody's yes is going to look different. And so I think, you know, people are hoping that I have the same opinion, I guess, when it comes to school choice. And, you know, TLDR, I do, if you need to hear nothing else. But I recently shared on Instagram that we had decided to homeschool my oldest this year. My middle child is going to a little preschool, and my baby is a baby. So, you know, he's just crawling around, pulling up on stuff, and just generally causing mayhem, but he's not there yet. So that's what we decided to do this year. Looked at all of our options, including public school, our private Catholic school, and homeschool. And ultimately, we decided that this was going to be the best move for our family for this year. But I understand that, you know, the conversation around homeschooling can get weird fast. And this is just one more area, you know, of choosing how to educate your children that I feel like in Catholic circles, and I think this is why people want me to talk about this, and I get it, is this is just another area where there's this weird kind of virtue signaling and this one-upmanship and this holier-than-thou-ness happening about how you choose to educate your children. And I just think it's so dumb and it's exhausting. And it just, it prevents parents from being able to really to look inward and to say, okay, no, what is the best decision for our family? And sure, other people may look at us like we're crazy, but what is the best decision for our family and how are we going to navigate this? And I just wish, you know, same thing with family planning and you know, that type of thing is I wish we just stopped judging people for making these decisions. It's so pointless. It's so fruitless. And if we stop judging and we actually started to get curious about, hey, why did you choose to send your child to public school? Why did you choose to homeschool your child? Why did you choose Catholic school? If we just started approaching this with curiosity, we'd all be so much better off because we would actually learn something. When we were going through the process of trying to decide what to do with our kids this year, I did that. Like I went to, I'm fortunate to know someone who attends our church who is a public school teacher. And I reached out to her and said, hey, can I pick your brain? Another mom who's homeschooled her, all of her kids with a particular program. I was like, hey, can I pick your brain? Some other moms who sent their kids to our Catholic school, same thing. Like I kind of reached out and was like, hey, tell me your experience of what you're doing and how it's working. And all of these moms were so great. The thing that I appreciated about all of them was that they just wanted to give me the information. And all of them said, I know I didn't answer your question about where you should send your kids, and I'm sorry about that. And I was like, no, you gave me the information, and now I can go back and I can talk to my husband, and he and I can sit down and we can say, hey, here's the information. Now, what do we think is the best decision for our family? So that I just wish that we respected the fact that faithful Catholic parents, and if you're seeing parents going to church every Sunday with their kids, can we just start assuming the best of everybody, please? Just assume the best. Assume that whatever decision they have made for their children is the best one, and that that decision was hard to come by. I had no idea how hard this decision was going to be. Like, you're literally like, okay, how do I educate my kid? And there's so much information that you can acquire in order to inform your decision, but at the end of the day, like, you kind of just have to start doing it. You know, you either send your kid to a certain school or you start homeschooling and you just start doing the thing. And then you figure out, okay, how is this working? How is this going? Is this working? Do we need to switch something up for next year? So you kind of have to, you once you enter into this process, you kind of learn by doing. And it is overwhelming and it is exhausting. And so just recognizing first and foremost that the decision that parents are faced with how to, what's the best way to educate their children is fraught with all sorts of stuff. And if we just stop judging, if we were curious enough where we stopped heaping judgment on top of what is already a very difficult, complicated decision, you know, I think obviously we would be so much better off. And I understand to a certain degree, like, I think there's this feeling or this tendency that we all have, frankly, and we've all done this at some point or another about something. I include myself in this, certainly, that whenever we try something that works out well for us, we kind of think, first of all, I think this is a very good thing. We're like, wow, this is amazing. This has transformed my life. This is so good for me and for my kids and my family. This has enriched us so much. But then we make the mistake, and the next thing that we say is, and everybody needs this. And that is just a fatal, fatal error. Because the only people who are going to derive the precise fruit that you are deriving from the decision that you made is you. And it doesn't mean that it's a bad decision for somebody else. It just means that how it works out for them is going to be different by mere virtue of the fact that they are not you. And so I think that can happen a lot whenever, you know, we talk about family planning or even natural family planning or fertility awareness methods, you know, like we love our fertility. Like when we find a fertility awareness method that works for us, we're like, oh, everybody needs this. Just do this, right? But at the same time, there's no such thing as a full stop best method. If that were true, we'd be no different than birth control. So the fact that we do have options, there are choices available, is a good thing. And the fact that people have the freedom to figure out which one is going to be the best for them is good. Same thing with school. Same thing with school. That just because we have something that works for us doesn't mean it works for everybody, because everybody's different. So ultimately, this kind of war that we're seeing now about, I mean, everything's a war these days, which is so frustrating, but this war that we're seeing now, where school choice is basically put on a moral hierarchy, is just asinine. I just think it's asinine. And of course, we're kind of living, I mean, at the same time, like it would be remiss of me to not mention that, like, yeah, okay, the stuff that's going on in a lot of public schools, not great when you're talking about practicing the Catholic faith, right? But the problem is that we live in a country and we live in a day and age where we're more tuned out with what's happening locally, and we're more tuned in to what's happening nationally. And we need to flip that, first of all. Tune into your local school board. Tune into your local county or parish, if you are in Louisiana. What is going on there? The mom that I talked to who taught in public school, she's in a school district where the school board is like largely conservative, and there's a good mixture of people on the school board, but it's like the majority is more conservative leaning. So if you have that type of situation in your county, in your school district, you know, maybe public school would be a potential option to look into. I've had a mom share with me that she sends all of her boys to public school, and it's very intentional. They want them to be exposed to different types of people, different ethnicities, different customs. But at the same time, they have a very, very rich, solid home life where they talk about those things. They talk about how to engage. That's something that they're very intentional about, that they want for their kids. That's the best decision for them. Another mom had an experience where she had sent her daughter to public school and then switched her to private school, private Catholic school. And she actually became very lukewarm in the practice of her faith when she switched to Catholic school. And what she discovered is that actually her daughter being in public school forced her daughter to define herself as a Catholic, which she didn't really have to do at a Catholic school, right? Because it's just part of the education. And again, I'm not saying that this is every single child and this is every single family, but I think the challenge here is for parents to really tune into their individual child's needs and the larger needs of their family. Right? There's so much that goes into school. Like, what is your financial capability? What do you need in terms of your time? You know, do you both have to work? Does one of you stay home? What's going on in the family structure? Is there a school that's close by, or is it really far? There's so many things, and that's just to name a few. Like, what are the personalities of your children? Do they need that type of stimulation, or would they be better served at home? Now, the reason why I bring up these examples is because I think what we're starting to see, and I think this has been there always to a certain degree, but I think we're starting to see it more, again, because everything is becoming so black and white. There is so much virtue signaling about this, is that in a lot of Catholic circles, you will start to see people say that, or to use language or to kind of have a narrative that homeschooling is the full stop most or best decision for you to make for your kids in this day and age. You shouldn't send them to these other schools because they're going to get indoctrinated and it's going to be horrible and, you know, all this type of stuff, and they won't practice their faith. So you need to keep them home so that you can make sure that they learn the faith and they practice the faith the right way, and that when they grow up, they will continue to do so. And frankly, I think that this is a very, very toxic way of approaching school. Because if your reason for keeping your child at home is because you want to make sure that you control the type of person they will become, the type of faith that they will practice, even if it's for the right reasons, that motivation, you know, obviously, like, raising your children in the faith, this is one of the things as Catholic parents, like, this is not an option. We raise our children in the faith. This is what we do. We are the primary educators of our children, whether we educate them at home or whether we send them out into the world. It doesn't matter. We are still the primary educators. But if our motivations are control, I want to control a particular outcome, really what's going on there is that that is fear-based. And this is where we kind of have to be, we have to be careful, because on the one hand, like, yes, there are horrible things happening in some public schools. We read the news stories, right? Like, we see ideologies and things that are getting crammed down children's throats that's not okay. And maybe you do live in a public school district where it's just like not in a million, not over my dead body, right? Okay. But that's, first of all, not a universal thing. And second of all, your decision should not be purely based in fear. There should be something positive there. There should still be discernment. There should still be an openness to, let me look at the options that are in my area. What can, and of course, like, coming back to, what are my individual child's needs? What are our financial and physical, logistical capabilities as a family? And then what are my options? And then how do we piece all these things together to figure out what the best thing is going to look like? It's a very complicated decision, but just to say that I should keep my kids home so that I can make sure that they don't hear all of these horrible ideologies. I need to protect them and keep them safe, keep them in a bubble, because I'm afraid. This is not a good, it's not a healthy motivation. It's very toxic. How many of us came from families, or maybe know other families, where that was the motivation? How many of us are still practicing our faith? It backfires. It becomes, if that's the motivation to keep a child at home, the child will rebel. The child will say, hey, I was controlled and I was told that this was what I had to do. And I was not given a choice. There wasn't really an examination of what was truly best for me. There was just my parents' fear. The child will get to a point where they rebel, not just against the parents, but also against the faith that the parents are trying to raise them in. This was something that we saw very strongly if you watch the documentary Shiny Happy People, right? You're starting to see this, all this deconstruction in evangelical churches. Like, what is going on? It's this high control that's based in fear of wanting to control a particular outcome for your children. And the challenge is parents, and I get into this deeply in another episode, episode 3, Where Mothers Belong. This is like you're shooting yourself in the foot if you're trying to control a particular outcome. And so there has to be this balance, or rather this integration between, yes, it is the parents' responsibility to educate their children, to raise them in the faith, but there also has to be this freedom that the education is not just focused on what to think, but also let's start exploring why. Why do we think these things? To give the children, your children, that gift of critical thinking. Let's think things through. When I was in architecture school, my professors had this phrase. They would say, you need to think sideways. Kind of look at something different. Instead of looking at it straight on, tilt your head a little bit, look at it differently. Pick things apart. This is all we did in architecture school. Like, in architecture school, I learned how to think. let's take, like, I mean, we were doing it with buildings, but let's take buildings apart and figure out how they go together. Does it make sense? Can we replicate it? And that can be, like, that is the gift you want to give your children, because that is what they will take out into the world. And no matter what comes at them, they will be able to handle it. That's the job of parenting. And it doesn't matter where you send your kids for school. That's the job. That's what the education that you're giving your children. It's equipping them to leave your home and to be ready for anything. And so if they're going to be ready for everything, there's no way that you as a human being can prepare them for everything. But you can give them the foundation. You can give them the ability to think critically, to take things apart, to think sideways, to really question, you know, the truth of things, to have good discernment. That's what parents should be imparting to their children. And typically speaking, if you are operating out of fear, and if you're operating out of fear, again, it's not that there's not things to fear. There absolutely are. We have to be careful that we're not making decisions purely rooted in fear, because those are not free decisions. Those are not decisions. We need to make decisions out of love. And really, like, this is getting into discernment for individual families as well. If you want to know about discernment, go back and listen to episode 17, my interview with my friend Father Andrew Clark. We talked about discernment. He pulls out the wisdom of the saints and just frames discernment in a beautiful way. So this is something that I'm already doing with my daughter in terms of, like, giving her kind of a broad framework from which she can discover kind of who she is made to be, right? So for example, we all remember those phases that we went through as kids, right? Where whenever we saw a particular example that made us very excited or very happy, like, we wanted to be that thing. Like, you see the fire truck going by and it's like, oh, I want to be a firefighter, right? And then you see the spaceship going up. Oh, I want to be an astronaut. Well, she's telling me that she wants to be a mommy and a teacher, which is absolutely precious. But I have been very intentional. First of all, I do take it as, like, a very high compliment. Now, I know next week it's going to be like, I don't ever want to be a mommy and a teacher because, that, you know, right? We might butt heads and that'll come out. I'm not ruling out that possibility. But for right now, it's very sweet and I'm cherishing it because I know that that means that she sees what I'm doing and she loves what I'm doing and she wants to do the same thing because she feels that connection and she feels that love. And that's what she was created for, right? So she's getting it. That's what she wants forever. Yeah, girl. But I've been very careful and very intentional not to say, you know, like, oh, yeah, nope, you're going to be a mommy and a teacher one day. Because first of all, she's 6 and a half. There was so many things that I wanted to be before I settled into what I am now, right? And so I was like, okay, this is an opportunity for me to kind of give her something more foundational. And I remembered in this conversation that I had with Father Clark, he said, you know, God has already placed desires in our heart of who he has created us to be. And so the secret is not to pray in order to learn God's will. The secret is, you know, what are my deepest desires? And he goes into this in great eloquence. So I highly recommend to listen to that episode. But it also made me think of that quote by Saint Irenaeus, which is that the glory of God is man fully alive. And so I had this opportunity and I said, Evelyn, I said, what you will do one day and what you need to start thinking about is what makes me come alive. What makes me feel alive? And I don't think she fully understands what I'm saying yet, but I don't care. I'm planting seeds and we can build on this. Because the truth is that, you know, hey, maybe what makes her come alive is to be a wife and a mother and a teacher. Maybe that is the thing that will make her come to life. Or maybe she will have an expression of motherhood and teaching that won't look like her mommy. So I want to plant something broader, something bigger that she can take with her and apply anywhere. I want to give her something bigger. Not to say being a mom or a teacher is bad or limited, but that I want her to think more about the why, not just the what. I want her to have that kind of foundation. Now, the thing is, obviously, like, we've made the decision to homeschool our children. And obviously, I think it's a good thing. Spoiler alert. And I love it. You might be thinking, like, wait a minute, you said that you started homeschooling last week. Shouldn't you wait a little while before you record a podcast episode on this? So I was actually homeschooled, a little bit about my background. I was homeschooled through 8th grade and then went to Catholic high school and public college. So I'm very familiar with how the process works. And the things that I love about it, that I loved about it as a student, was the flexibility. I loved that there would be days where, we had just been inside, like, looking at the books for too long, and my mom was like, "We're hitting the road, kids. Like, we're going to a plantation. We're studying the Civil War. Like, we're going to go look at it in real life." Like, that happened. It was fantastic. I loved it. So I love that flexibility, that the freedom to really give each individual child the particular attention that they need. Because homeschooling is not really financially, you're not crunching numbers with this, so you actually have some extra income to be able to afford things like tutors if you need them, or piano lessons. And you're also not trying to fit these things in during the worst times of the day or the busiest times of the day. Like, you could do piano lessons in the morning and do your school in the afternoon, and then you're not running around all over town rushing kids here, there, and yonder during the dinner hour, right? There's a beautiful flexibility there that's actually very supportive of kind of more like a less frenetic family life. So I like that aspect of it very much. But I think, homeschooling kind of gets a weird or a bad name because we've all met the weird homeschoolers, right? We've all met the kids whose parents do shelter them, whose parents kind of do have the approach, the fear approach. And, we've all, it's been off-putting. I was homeschooled and I know, like, yeah, it can get weird. It can get weird. And it can even get insidious and evil, right? Because if you're homeschooling, it's very easy to cover up abuse. Again, like we saw with Shiny Happy People, with IBLP, like, it's a cover for abuse. So that is absolutely kind of the dark side of homeschooling. But I think my biggest beef with that documentary was the fact that the way it was portrayed, if you didn't have any understanding of homeschooling prior to that, there was kind of this, the takeaway was that this is really what all homeschoolers are like. And that's just not true. That's just not true. So that kind of bothered me. At the same time, like, I don't want to invalidate what these people experienced because it was horrific. And this is like showing the bad side of homeschooling. Fun fact, it's actually illegal to homeschool in Germany and also, I believe, in Spain, because back in the day, Nazi parents were homeschooling their kids and using the opportunity of homeschooling to indoctrinate their kids with Nazi ideologies. So it's banned in Germany and also in Spain because Spain was a fascist dictatorship in the 30s, I think through the 70s, actually. We kind of don't know that about Spain, but yeah. Not good. Not good. But anyway. So maybe I hope that we don't get to a point in this country where we're starting to hear about kind of this insidious side of the fundamentalist strain of homeschooling and then think that this is all homeschoolers and we need to outlaw it. There's secular homeschoolers. I mean, people are homeschooling for all sorts of reasons, especially after COVID, right? Like, we all just kind of had to homeschool by default. And then some people were like, "Hey, this actually works." And so they stuck with it, not even for religious reasons. So it is, there is broadening there. There's tons of opportunities. There's tons of curriculum that you can choose from. I'm not really going to get into that part of the conversation because woof. I don't, that's an episode unto itself that, again, I'd rather take a bullet. We ended up landing on a curriculum that is a classical curriculum that has a co-op that meets once a week, so we can plug into the community. Our area actually has, I mean, we are spoiled for choice for homeschool co-ops and communities and opportunities. So I'm very much looking forward to plugging in this year because, you know, my little first grader is very extroverted and needs friends, needs playmates. So I'm very excited to plug into this and see. We've already got a couple field trips planned with our co-op. So it's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to that. And speaking of, you know, when people think homeschool, they think, oh my gosh, your kid's not gonna get socialized. That's probably one of the stupidest, to me, the stupidest pushbacks against homeschooling because, listen, if you meet a homeschool mom who is a healthy, functional adult, right? She's not choosing this out of fear. She's choosing this because this is the best for her family. That is a resourceful woman. Oh my gosh. Like, she knows. If you want to know what is going on in your community, go talk to a homeschool mom. She's got it all pegged. She knows what's happening. She knows who to do it with. No, the last thing you need to worry about with homeschool kids is being socialized. Like, they got access to all these other things. Now, I know this is not in every single area. Sometimes you might live in an area where there is literally no homeschooling around you whatsoever. But it's growing. I think that's changing. Again, especially since COVID. So that's always just been kind of a funny pushback to me because, and I would hear it when I was a kid, you know, people like, oh, like you're not really very socialized. And I was like, actually, I can hold a pretty intelligent conversation with grown adults and kids, and I'm pretty much fine. I tell people that I was homeschooled, they're like, oh, really? You know, most people are surprised. And I'm like, yeah, because you expect homeschoolers to be a certain way. And I don't think I fit that bill. Again, it's an incredible opportunity, I think. I think it's a beautiful, wonderful decision. I think where homeschooling, like I said, kind of goes south, goes off the rails, it really is in the why. Why are you making this decision? Are you making this decision because you have discerned and you were like, this is going to be the best decision for our family? And we are going to pursue like a rich curriculum that is going to give our children a very well-rounded education. Find the extracurriculars, find those things, find those people that we can, you know, engage with. Or is this motivated from, I am just so afraid of everything that is happening out in the world that I need to insulate my children and put them in a bubble so that they aren't touched by it? And again, that's like, it's this tricky thing, right? Because our job as parents is to protect our kids, and there are crazy things happening out in the world. You know, the stats of, it's not a question of if, but when your kid discovers porn and the average age is 10 or 11, like, good night. Like, this whole, the, I mean, I'm completely believe that, you know, no one is going to protect my child's innocence but me. Nobody cares about my child's innocence but me. Like, that is my job. And I take that seriously. And I think that that's, you know, that's certainly a consideration, especially if you're looking at other school options. But at the same time, protecting my child's innocence doesn't mean, like, in our house, you know, this should be no surprise. I've recorded a whole podcast on this. Like, we use appropriate anatomical terminology. We're actually doing human anatomy in our co-op this year, and I'm so excited. And we are going through all of the body parts. And so far, it seems to be my daughter's favorite, which is great. And I'm like, okay, I'm really, really getting geeky and nerdy about all of this. But, you know, we're getting to the gastrointestinal system and we're talking about sphincters and rectum and anus. And, like, yeah, these are body parts. And, yep, here is male genitalia and here is female genitalia. And, like, you're pretty much familiar with all of these because you got two little brothers. So, like, this is the bloom is off that rose. We just have very frank, very matter-of-fact conversations that are age-appropriate. In all of our anatomy books, they're starting to show babies in mommy's tummies and sperm meeting eggs. And yeah, we're going to talk about all those things. And if she asks questions, we'll talk about them in an age-appropriate manner. So my point is that I'm not bringing her home to, you know, yes, there's the advantage of protecting her innocence. But at the same time, I'm protecting her innocence so that I can introduce her to the things that she absolutely will encounter in the world in a way that is frank, and matter of fact, and ultimately teaches my daughter that when she has a question and when she doesn't understand something, she can come to mom and we can talk about it. And if something bad happens, she can come to mom and we can talk about it. And mom's not going to get mad. She's not going to get upset. But we're going to talk about it. Like, that's what I get to establish with her. And that's honest, I should be establishing that with her, whether she was at public, private school, or homeschool. It doesn't matter. But that's the point, is that you can't shield the, if you're shielding your child, but not within that shield, educating them and kind of and preparing them for leaving your home and sending them out into the world, you're doing your children a huge disservice. You're not preparing them to be functional adults. You're not preparing, and really the greatest gift that parents can give their children, I think, is learning how to think. And maybe that becomes part of the decision-making process when you're looking at schools, is like, geez, like these curriculum, like this was part of it for me, is these curriculum are not really teaching my child what, or teaching my child how to think, but just what. Like, they're just kind of putting her in a position where it's like, you just need to learn the information by a certain time so that you can pass the test. And if you don't pass the test, it's going to be a problem. And it's like, yikes. And like, my daughter, like, she doesn't, that she crumbles under that. She gets frustrated. That pressure just squashes her love for learning. And so instead, at home, we get to have days where literally, like, we might start learning something, and if she gets frustrated, we might be spending 30 minutes or the majority of our school day just on emotional regulation, which is fine. I have the flexibility to do that. A teacher who's standing at the front of a classroom with 16, 20 kids does not have that ability. But I get to do that with my daughter at home, one-on-one. So again, there's all sorts of reasons why you're going to choose one school versus another, but and I think homeschooling is a wonderful choice, but again, the fact that we've kind of made it the morally superior choice bothers me. I don't think that it is the morally superior choice unless you are actually called to homeschool your kids. It's a calling. It's not a default of holiness. Kind of like with big families, right? Like, we kind of think like, oh, having a bunch of kids automatically makes you holy. Well, are all of these children a result of a yes to God, or were you kind of being selfish about it? You know, just not to keep harping on the Duggars, but one of the things that I just made my skin crawl was when Michelle Duggar was talking about, you know, she was trying to have her 20th child and she kept having multiple miscarriages. And she just literally wanted the physical number of 20. And like, yikes. Like, that is so selfish. Not to mention the fact that, you know, if we're pro-life, she's had multiple miscarriages. She has more than 20 kids, just not physically on this earth. There's so much wrong with that. So much toxic about that. And so, no, like, having children is not the default of holiness. What is God calling you to do? Whether you're avoiding a pregnancy, achieving a pregnancy, just being like, you know what, we're just gonna throw caution to the wind and whatever. Like, we are in a position where whatever God gives us, we are ready to take. Like, okay. But that's a result of discernment and truly asking, like, what are we called to do right now? And so, no, if you're not called to homeschool, but you homeschool, I don't want to be you on judgment day. If you're called to send your kids to public school, but you don't send your kids to public school, don't want to be you on judgment day, right? So there's not necessarily a morally superior decision that's across the board. It's no. What is your situation? What's going on in your life? What are your school options? What are your capabilities? And here's the part that really kills me, is that not only does this become like this virtue signaling of like, oh, I'm protecting my children to make sure I raise them in the faith so that they aren't indoctrinated with woke leftist agendas. Okay, sure, we can start there. But again, don't make your decision out of fear. But the part that really grinds my gears is that we use this as like an indictment of mothers. That if you don't homeschool, somehow you're not as good as the mother who does. And that is just, That is so toxic. No, 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 no. That mother has different gifts that you don't have. Because God doesn't make the same person twice. And just because one mother is good at homeschooling and another mother is not, does not put them on a hierarchy. It doesn't make one better than the other for any reason, either way. They are both trying to decide and do. They're both trying to live the family life that God has called them to live. Yeah, it's going to look different. I've talked about this before, but we kind of have this weird thing where there is difference, we try to set up a hierarchy. And it's asinine. It makes no sense. Because God has made every single one of us different. All of our situations are different. There might be some of you mamas out there who are like, I could not homeschool my kids. I could not do it. I do not feel called. I do not have it in me. Don't do it. Don't do it. I love to teach. Like, I have always loved to teach in some form. I didn't get an education degree, but I've always loved to teach. This feels very natural for me, right? I'm not forcing something. I'm not pushing something. Like, this, now that I'm doing it, I like it. It makes me come to life to see that I get to do this with my daughter, to develop, to deepen our relationship in this way. Like I said, it's a lot of emotional regulation so far this year. But I'm developing a stronger relationship with my daughter as a result. And that's been wonderful. Now, again, if you're not supposed to homeschool, but you're homeschooling, like, that's probably going to make your relationship with your kids suffer. And I know every homeschool mom out there who's like, actually, Emily, I am definitely called to homeschool. Homeschooling is wonderful for us. And yeah, I have a kid or two who, like, we butt heads. Yep, I know. I know. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to paint in black and white. I know there's gray. But the point is that you see that. And if you need to get other help, you do. So anyway, I think just kind of, you know, if we summarize everything, because I suck at conclusions, you know, I've been doing how many episodes, and I do not have the art of winding down an episode, okay? I'm still working on this. Maybe by my 100th episode, if I go that long, we'll get somewhere. Anyway, homeschooling is a wonderful, beautiful choice. Obviously, I think so, because we're doing it this year. Now, whether we do it next year, I don't know. That's not a decision I have to make right now. We take it a year at a time. But for right now, it makes sense, and right now it seems to be working well. But it is not the morally superior decision. It's simply, what is God asking of your family? Like, what makes the most sense for your family? One of the moms that I talked to, who's homeschooled all 5 kids, you know, when I was originally trying to figure out whether we were going to do public, private, or homeschool, I was talking to her about kind of my dilemma, and she said, you know, Emily, she said, no matter where you send your kids, they're going to do fine. Whether you send them to public school, Catholic school, homeschool, they're going to do fine because you fight for them. And that's it. That's it. I think that's really the big takeaway. As long as you're fighting for your kids, as long as your home is that safe place where they can be themselves, they can open up to mom and dad, they can learn from mom and dad, it doesn't matter where you send them, they will thrive and they will be okay. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I hope it brightened your day and that you laughed as much as you learned. If you're enjoying the show and want more people to learn about what I share here, please leave a review and even share with a friend. I hope you'll join me again soon. Until then.